Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to be here again. For those of you I haven't talked to or spoken with, Tony is home. She should be here this afternoon if it's the good Lord's willing. So we've tried to rotate so we can make sure that the baby is taken care of and nobody is, you know, overworked with whatever's going on at the house. So everything is good to go. Thank you for being concerned, and I really appreciate that. Also, this is the fourth Sunday, so it's a youth Sunday. To those of you who don't want to tell me, don't I look young? I'm not young. Anyway, glad to be here. So I'm going to have some of my, before they get back to college, have some of my boys to come up, or one of my boys to come up, and they're going to do the evening service, if it's all right with you. I think it's important that we develop them and get them into the Word. The sooner we get them into it, the easier it is to try to make a transition with life. With that, let me say I thank God for allowing us this opportunity to be here. I thank the leadership of the church. Always important. I know you say I say that every time, but there's a reason. There's a purpose. The reason for that is that we have to have some type of moral parameter on life, and you have to have leaders in there with that moral parameter for that to work. If not, the entire field become the playing ground, and at that point, you've lost all moral compass. My church family, I love you. I look forward to coming. It has never been an issue for me to come down here and wonder how somebody feels because you made me feel comfortable. And I think that's the way it's supposed to work. I think that's how it is. By the time you have more fun and friendship with people that's probably going through the same thing that you're going through, you can really accept and believe that God is in everything as we live and God is in control. That way you don't have to run around and try to discriminate and figure out, well, this is a good person or that a bad person, because God is handling things. I really appreciate that. I appreciate this in my family because I can come here, especially with my youth, and don't have to worry about them being distorted with what life is. People are people. No matter what the color is, people are people. My wife and children, like I said, she's not here, but I got them here. Believe that. That's a good thing. My scripture for this morning will be coming from, I decided to do something a little different this time, will be coming from the Old Testament. No, they say the Old Testament history. And I think, you know, you don't remember history, you're destined to repeat it. Is that what they say? Yeah. So, yeah, let's go back in there, because I think, you know, the whole Bible is nothing more than a operator's instruction for our life. That's what I think it is. So we'll be reading. I have two scriptures. The first one will be Exodus 3 and 10. And the second one will be Exodus 13 and 17. When you have it, say amen. All right. Okay. Moving fast. Okay. I'll read Exodus 3 and 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That's my first one. Second one, 13 and 17. When you have it, say amen. I'll read. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Wonder what that means. I'm going to talk to you about it. But what I want you to listen to is that my title from those two scriptures is drive or driven. Drive or driven. You know, I love that look every time I come here with my title. They look at me and say, where is he going with this? You know, I love it because what I try to look at is, all, and like I always told you, the Bible being applicable and how this thing applies to my life. And it's just a little application that I want you to apply to it. And at the end, I hope I provoke some thought that might help you in adjusting your spiritual walk. Drive or driven. The analogy drive and driven is used to identify in this particular aspect the control. If you are a driver, and I love this because I have to, me and my wife go through this every time we get in the car. If you're the driver, all the controls is right here in front of me. Huh? She likes to sit on this side, and they two gauges she watch all the time. The speedometer and her gas gauge. I said, baby, if they wanted you to know that stuff, they'd have put a nun right over there. Drive or driven. Now, it's important because that analogy helps put into perspective our life. Drive or driven. Why? I ask the question, in your life, you're going to be in both seats at some time. My question, when you're driving, what's driving you? And when you're driven, who you riding with? Huh? That's what we're going to talk about. To help establish our direction in our Christian life, we need to ascertain, we need to understand whether or not we're living a life that we are being driven or we are the driver, the influence. The movement of our life from a Christian perspective. See, we often refer to life as a journey. And I guess that's a good thing. That's a good way of looking at it. The journey, if you apply it to life, it's a good analogy. Because the journey begins at birth and ends at death. And like any journey, you have good roads and you have bad roads. You have uphill journey and you have downhill journey. You have company sometimes, and sometimes you're alone. You're happy sometimes, and sometimes you're sad. And depending on the road you choose, you can have a lot of company and a lot of detours. Or it can be lonely and a straight path. You can have a long journey, and you can have a short journey. However, there's two things that you need to know about your life, the journey. Each one of us have a beginning, and each one of us have an end. The journey. Number two is while you're on your journey, you will sit both in the driver's seat sometime and be driven in the passenger seat sometime. If you are in the driver's seat, you are in control. You make all the trip decisions. You decide how you travel, and what you do. You determine the speed and how long. You can do everything, but go back. If you're being driven, you're at the mercy of the driver. Get that stark. If you're being driven, you're at the mercy of the driver. As Christians, we need to make sure we understand that. If there's something else motivating you other than God, you're at the mercy of whatever that is. You don't make any decisions without influence. I got to talk with somebody. I got to get this. I like to be that before I say something. I like to have me a drink before I think about this and come to clues. You don't do anything on your own without influence from someone else. You're being driven. But just like being the driver, you can't go back. Both of those are the same. The issue is both driver and driven have good and bad connotations. Both driver and driven have good and bad connotations. You are saying what? What is this all about? Let me tell you how this ties in with the message. The message gave us the perfect example of a good, perfect driver. As per God tells us in Exodus 13 and 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines, not through the way of the land of the Philistines that was near God. God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. What am I saying? And why is that good? Why does that reflect God being good? God cares about your journey. God cares about your journey. God knows what you will do. God knows what you will do. And God adjusts the journey for you. That's a good driver. That's a good driver. Examples of being driven, good examples. Exodus 13 and 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God, with all might and power, sent Moses to speak to Pharaoh on the release of the children of Israel. God knows Moses' weakness and problems, yet sends him to speak to the most powerful man in the land. On a matter of giving up a huge chunk of his wealth. A feat that would certainly mean sudden death if you did it without God. God, the good driver. God, the good driver. Exodus 14 and 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, never no more. Why? Moses was driven by God. Driven by God. The last one, Deuteronomy 34 and 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Driven by God. You over here in the passenger seat. He's driven by God. So, with that, I go back to your journey. Go back to your journey. As you sit in your driver's seat of life, are you on the straight and narrow for God? What course are you on? What path do you take? When you come to church on Sunday morning or in here, what drives you here? Are you here because you were told to come here, or you see everybody else do it? What's driving you? Are you trying to save your soul? Are you trying to make an impact in this world God got you in? Or are you just here? What's driving you in your Christian walk? Are you making all godly decisions? See, as a driver, you make your decisions. You're in control. Are you being driven, or are you the driver? You need to understand the two different positions, because in life, you are actually in both seats at certain times. What is influencing you? Are you getting up in the morning, going to work with the understanding, I got to get this job done so I can make the house note? Are you getting up in the morning and saying, thank you, Lord, I'm glad I got up. Thank you for this. Let me go out and try to represent you in your word another day. Do my part in society. If that's the way you're going to work, that's the way you go to work. That's good. But if you're driven by, I have a desire to get that new C8 Corvette. My girlfriend likes to gamble at Jersey City. Or my neighbor got a bigger leaf blower than me. I want to get another. You got your intentions for driving mixed up. You got your intentions for driving mixed up. Are you determined to stay on the right course? Is anything easily turning you off? Do you feel a bump in the road, the resistance in life, the problems that come up, and are you distracted and you run off the road as you drive your journey in life? Or do you have the staying power of God to pray and face your problem head on? As you drive your journey of life, when these situations come up, that we all have some form of, do you face it with a clear windshield, looking at the roadmap of the Bible and staying on course? How do you stay the course as you drive on your journey of life? As being driven. The thought, the motivation, the thing that gets you getting up in the morning, are you looking to God for your guidance? Is that driving you? Or are you looking over there to your boss man to see can you get the next promotion? And you come up with an excuse to not come to church on Sunday. Are you driven by the fact that you can't do any of the good things that you like to do when you was out there in the world, so you don't go to church much because all those people I see in church are hypocrites? What's the thing that's driving you? You've been driven by what? Are you asking God constantly for guidance when you come to those scenarios where you're struggling with? Are you driven by the fact that you're seeking vengeance on whoever or whatever it is? Drive or driven. Either one requires your 100% attention to God. Drive or driven. In either position, you're going to end up at a destiny that if you did not incorporate God, it's not going to be where you want to be. Drive or driven. Doesn't make a hill of beans of difference. You're going to get to the end of that journey. Drive or driven. When we get up in the morning and we look at life, we sometimes take for granted that life is given to us. And our motivation tends to become anything other than what God has for us. Our desire, our want, our anger, our frustrations, our ability to cheat. Anything and everything but what God has got. But as you can see, if you rely on God for clarity, the thing that we know you're going to have, which is that journey, God is going to take you through. God is going to take you through. You're going to do the journey. You're going to do the journey. And at the end of the journey, you're going to be accountable for your own destination. What you have to decide is that when you're in the driver's seat or being driven by whoever, what's going to influence you? Which course you're going to take? Who is going to be the authority of your end destination? Who do you have to answer for when you meet your master? Who course? What path? What road? What point did you decide? drive, or driven. If you answer no or have questions about any of those things, you probably need to relook your plan of this journey that you're taking. You need to relook your reason that God have you here. You need to relook why you got up this morning, how you got here to church. You need to look at life in and of itself. You need to look at your direction. Maybe your journey, it's not headed the right way. We all have to come to that point in our life whether we're going to decide on whether we're going to be driven or we're going to drive. We're going to have to come to that point where we pick our course. And we are accountable for that course that you take. A lot of times, we let other things become the God to us. Our jobs, our money, our location, our significant others. None of which can change that destination at the end of your course. God makes it blatantly clear. You either let him into your life, into your journey, and let him influence your driving and the place that you're being driven to, or you're destined for doom. You're destined for doom. God has a plan for you. The issue is, do you want to accept his plan? Hearing the gospel, believing in Christ, repent of past sins, confess Christ, be baptized, and live faithfully. Very simple. With those markers on your journey, you will stay the course. You won't deviate. We ask that you come now as we stand and sing.